We're going to learn Daf Mem Ches in Mesechtas Ksubas. We're going to start right at the top, which is sort of in the middle of what's going on in the Gemara. The Gemara beforehand, on the bottom of Mem Zayin and Beis, was discussing how to translate the words in the pasuk Sher Ksus Ve'Oino. Those are the three things that a husband is chayev midaraisa to his wife. So the Tanakama Shita was the way we typically understand it, which is She'er is referring to the fact that his husband is chayev to support her. Ksus is the regular clothes, he has to give her clothes, and Oino is referring to the fact that he has to live with her. That's the classic translation. Then you had Rabbi Eliezer Shito that said that, no, it's a little bit around. Oino is really, Rabbi Eliezer Shita is that Sher is actually the Oino. He flips around Sher and Oino. Sher is referring to the fact that you have to spend time, because Sher, or whatever, and then Ksus still means Ksus. And Oino now means feeding, is Mezoinus. Those are the two Shitas on the bottom of Mezoinus Mabez. So now that takes us to the third Shita, which is right at the top of Mem Ches Amud Aleph. So let's start there. Zokta Gemar Vaita, the third Shita is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Aymer. He says, She'eira is Ksusa Lefum She'eira. That you actually put these, you combine these together. That the word She'er in the Pasuk means the age of or the appropriateness of the person that you are clothing. What does that mean? Tain la tain ksusa shaloi lefum she'ira tain ksusa. According to her age or according to her status, that's how you should clothe her. Shaloi yitain la loy shel yalda lezakena. You shouldn't give a young child who likes fluffy and big clothing to an older lady. Veloy shel zakena liyalda, or not a, and you shouldn't give plain, simple, practical clothing to zakena to a young girl. Okay, so therefore, ksusa v'ainasa lefum ainasa. So then the next words, ksusa naina, also our translation intended to interpret and explain, again, the clothing according to the age, meaning the time of the year. Aina, lefum ainasa, according to the time, meaning tank susa, that's how you should, lefum ainasa tank susa, according to the time of year, that's how you should clothe her. Shalo yitain chadosh in the yimaisachama, shouldn't give the new clothing in the summer months. So the summer months are obviously hotter, and new clothing is usually heavier and thicker, so therefore they are more, they're hotter. And you shouldn't give worn out clothing in the winter months when it's colder and you need the, so it should be appropriate for the person and appropriate for the time of year. In any event, so that's how Rabbi Eliezer says those are the words of the pasuk. But as we mentioned before, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that really mezoinos is midaraisa, and he doesn't hold that. He holds that the Sher Ksus Ve'Oino also refers to the mezoinos and the time and the Oino, but they also are intended to translate the Ksus, that the Ksus has to be appropriate for the person that you are clothing. The Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Yosef, She'era Zu Kiruv Basar. Karav Basar is the fact that when you're having these relationships, and what the Torah is saying, that the share is in part of that translation is that they should actually be touching. Shelo yinag ban minik parsiim. You shouldn't do what the parsiim do. Shemisham shem mitoyseim bilavusein, that they do tashmish while they're still fully clothed. Misayele the Rav Huna, and this is a proof to Rav Huna shita dam Rav Huna haomer efshi ella ani bebigdi. If a person says, I'm only interested in the relationship is if we remain fully clothed, yoitzi, he has to divorce her, and he has to pay for that. So that's not an acceptable practice. It has to be that they have to be the kiruv buster, that they have to actually be touching one on one. Now, the Gemara continues with the next point. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu anash of Yisrael. So at the end of the Mishnah before on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah made a point that says that one of the things that a husband has to do is he's responsible for burying his wife if necessary. But it also, Rabbi Yehuda points out and argues and says that he has to pay the minimum, he has to pay for the music and for the masbid at the Levaya. So, what? Two flutes, right, and the masbid. So the Gemara says, Michlal, the Tanakh Kama Sover, Hani Loy, So Reb Tanakhama is obviously, if this is Reb Yehuda's point, so then the Chachamim obviously, it seems according to the logic of the way we understand the Mishnayos, so that means the Tanakhama disagrees and says that that's not an obligation. So hey Chidami, what's the case over here that, what are they arguing about whether or not it's an obligation? Either or hey, if it's standard practice, my time at the Tanakhama to Amar Loi. Why would the Tanakhama say no? If that's what everybody does, then the husband just has to do what everybody does. If nobody does it, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So then why would Rabbi Yehuda say it's demanded and required? So the Gemara says, Loi tzricho k'goin to urche di day, v'lav urche di do. The issue is that some people do, it depends where you come from, some people do, some people don't. And specifically, in this case, is that it's normal for him. In his family, that's part of the tradition. In her family, it's not. So the Chiddush is that, and this, they're going to argue about whether a husband has to keep his standards, which are usually, assumedly in this case, higher standards, has to keep his standards for the sake of his wife, even after she is nifteris. Tanakama savar, the Tanakama holds ki amrina oila imoi. When the Tanakhama says that she always gets to go up to his standards, and she never has to go down, even if he's below her standards, she never has to go below her standards. And that's only while they're alive, because it's an obligation to keep her living in her proper standard. But the Tanakhama's shita is that after she's already niftaris, there's no obligation to raise her standards. And that's why the Tanakhama holds, since it's only his minig and not hers, it's not necessary to do it for her sake, because for her sake, it's not part of her minig. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, no, afilu la'achar miso. Even after she's niftaris, she's still considered and attached to him as part of his wife, and is related and known as his wife, and therefore he has obligation to keep up to his standards. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukva, halachik Rabbi Yehuda, so we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, which means that even after she's niftaris, she, for whatever, again, this is an example, this is one example, I'm sure there are other many examples, even if they don't come to mind at the moment, where even after she's niftaris, he still has to treat her at his level, not at her level. So this is based on the pasuk, because it says buulas baal, buulas baal. We darshan from the word oilo. It goes up, right, so it always goes up and never goes down. Okay, v'amar Rav Chisda Amar Mar Ukva, misha nishtata, somebody who goes crazy. This is very important, that he loses his mind, is not able to make decisions anymore. Okay, Alzheimer's is possible. Yes. Bezdin yordul nechosiv v'zonin umefarnesin es ishtoi. So the bezdin has to take, because normally it's the husband's obligation to take care of his wife, as we've been discussing in this sugya. But if the husband is not capable, he's incapacitated for whatever reason, he's not capable of taking care of his wife, so the bezin can go in and use the property to take care of the wife, ubanov, ubanosev, and his sons and daughters as well, vidavar acher, and additional stuff, which we'll see. Okay, so we're saying over here that bezin can get involved and they can take whatever they need and take care of everything. So the problem is, maishna, why is this different? That we learned in a braisa. Somebody who just went on a trip, and now he didn't leave his wife with anything to support herself. So Bezin Yordan Lunachosiv, Bezin will go into his property, Vizanin Umafarnasin as Ishtoi, they will take care of the wife. The wife needs to be supported. Avaloibonov Uvanoisov, Veloidavaracher. But the others, the extra, the sons and daughters, and the other stuff, whatever that is, in a moment, we'll see. That Bezin cannot get involved. Bezin can get involved only in the Mezonis. So again, based on what we started with today, that possibly Mezonis is Daraisa, we certainly understand that. The other things, which are maybe not Midaraisa, certainly taking care of your older children or her children and so on, is not Midaraisa. That Bezin cannot get involved. But the question that the Gemara is asking is, what's the difference? How come when he goes crazy, Bezin does give the children? But when he just leaves and he just disappears, then we don't support the children. So Amar Leih. So remember, this question was asked to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi answers, isn't it obvious to you that there's a difference between a person who leaves on purpose and leaves willingly or leaves intentionally versus somebody who doesn't leave intentionally? The way Rashi explains is, the difference is very simple. That when you leave intentionally, that means you knew it was coming, you knew what was going to happen, and you made a decision not to take care of the children, or not to take care of the other things. So therefore, If he decided, that means his intention was not to do it. So Beis Din can't override his decision. When he went crazy, when something happened, he snapped. So then we assume that he really does want to take care of it. So Beis Din will take care of it on his behalf. But if he intentionally, or what we assume is intentionally, did not take care of this problem, so then Anachanabi Beis Din, that's not Beis Din's problem to get involved or to go against what he would otherwise want, or what seems that what he would want. Okay, so what we listed over here, my davar acher, we said, and also other things. So Rav Chisda Omar, zeh tachshit, this is referring to tachshit. So the way Rashi translates tachshit is besamim, most of the other Rishonim also translate, it means, to make herself, so that she fits into society. That's the way Rashi translates it. Rav Yosef Omar tzedakah, that she's able to give tzedakah. Now what this means tzedakah over here is, the way they explain is that if the town is collecting money, and they go around and there's a certain contribution that's expected from everybody, that she would be obligated, or that they could use his money to pay those obligations, and we don't leave her out. Now, the Gemara over here now is going to continue on the tzad on when you don't go in and collect. Okay, this is Rashi himself brings two gersos in the Gemara. We're going to go with the gersa that Rashi prefers, which is when we don't get involved. So mandi yomer tachshit. If you say we don't get involved to give her the tachshitin when he left on purpose, to kolshke and tzedakah, we're not going to get involved in tzedakah, which really has nothing to do with her. It's not even her personal. It's just more of a status thing. So we're not going to give tzedakah or go into his property to take tzedakah. Mandi yomer tzedakah, but the mandi yomer that says you don't give tzedakah, avot tachshit yavin lo. But to give her something to make her feel good and look good in society, delay nichale, that we do give her delay nichale de tinavol, because the husband, even when he's not there, doesn't want her to look bad and not fit in. So therefore, when we say davar acher specifically, that's what Beis Din doesn't go into take without his permission. But for tachshit, we assume that we do have permission to take so that she doesn't look bad. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rabbi Amar Rav Huna, mi shahalach lamedina sayam umesa ishtoy. So let's say somebody went away, either intentionally, not intentionally, whatever. He's just not here, and his wife died, and she needs to be buried, but he's not here. Beis Din yardin lo nechaz of a kaver in oisa. So Beis Din can go use his money and use his property to bury her lefi kvoy doy, according to the standards of what he would normally do. So the Gemara asks lefi kvoy doy veloy kvi kvoy doy, like we discussed before. What if her standards are higher? So we wouldn't do her standards. Amos, so the Gemara says, yeah. What we meant to say is af lefi kvoy doy, even according to his standards, which if they're higher, the point is we can spend more money on her without his permission, because we assume that's what he has to do. Hakamash Malan, and that's part of what we were saying before. Oyla imoy, that she always goes up to his standards. The eno yeredes imoy, and she doesn't go down if her standards are higher than his. Afilu la'achar miso. Again, similar to what we said before, even after death. So the kavura is your classic example of something that happens la'achar miso, that you still get his standards. You get the higher standards. If his standards are higher, we go up to him. If her standards are higher, then she gets nothing less than what she would otherwise deserve. Amar Rav Masna, ha'oimer, somebody who says, im mesa loitik beruha minachosov, a guy says very clearly, says, if she dies, I am not spending money on that. I don't want you spending my money. Shimon loy, we do listen to him. So if he says it clearly, maishna, how come over here we listen to him? Ki amar dinafli nechosov kame yasmi. So why is it? Why over here do we listen to him? So because he says dinafli nechosov kame yasmi, because that money. Remember the money that belongs to him. It doesn't really belong to her. She doesn't yashin him. It should go to the assignment. So then, why does it matter that he says it versus he doesn't say it? If the reason why we listen to him when he says it is because he wants to save, he doesn't want to use his money on her, he wants his yarshin to get his money, let's say again, just to make it simpler or more palatable, imagine it's a second marriage or a third marriage, right? So it's not their kid's mother. So the kids are really not interested in taking care of her. And the point is the father really wants his own kids, his own children to get that money. We can understand that psychologically. That's certainly a normal thing. So then, So then, what difference does it make if he says it or he doesn't say it? Why does he have to say it if the purpose is really to get the money to his yishayim? So that cannot be the reason. Elo ha'omer. So it cannot be that. So just like when he, just like if he doesn't say anything, we would spend the money on her. So even when he says it, she has a right for him, if she has a right to demand, so to speak, her family has a right to demand that he does spend the money on her, and you can't say, well, I was saving it for the Yarshim. So that cannot be pshat in what Rav Masna said. Ella, rather what Rav Masna really said was the following. Ha'omer im meis hu, if a guy says about himself, he says, if I die, or again, the Gemara doesn't want to use the word "I die." So if he dies, referring again in third person to himself, loisik veru minichosov, he says, "I don't want you spending any money on my burial." So then, ain't shoymin loy. We don't listen to him. So this is exactly the opposite of what the Gemara said before. That is the chiddush. Why? Why don't we listen to it? The guy says very clearly, "Don't bother spending any money on me." So the answer is loy kol emine. We don't. He doesn't have the power. Sheyashir es bonav, so that his children should get all his money and be rich. The apalatzmei ala tzibur. But now, if they're not spending any of his money, so who's going to pay for this gvura? You're not going to leave him in the middle of the street. It's going to end up being the tzibur is going to have to be responsible. The public is going to have to pay for it. So we don't listen. We don't listen to those type of demands that to make it everybody else's problem so he could keep all his money. That is not a normal thing. That's what we don't listen to. But, so it comes out though, according to the Maskana of the Gemara here, that he doesn't have a right to say, I want to save my money for my children and make it everybody else's problem. He also does not have a right to say that I don't want to spend my money on anybody else either. On his wife, which he's obligated to bury. So he doesn't have a right to say, oh, I'd rather not spend the money on my wife. He doesn't have that right. And therefore, she gets buried properly with his nechassim. The Mishnah now says, lo'olam forever, lo'olam hi b'rishus ha'av, asheti kones l'rishus habal. So a girl is always considered in her father's rishus. Now this is even though we say la'olam is forever, it only means as long as she is either a katana or a naira, and not a begaris. But the point is that as long as that status is true, she's in her father's jurisdiction. As we'll see based on the things that we learned earlier, that the father gets her ma'isiyadayim and things like that, until she gets the rishus, now on the top of Memchesim Abeis, the rishus habal linesuin. When she's in the husband's rishus and she gets married. So again, linesuin, as we'll see in a moment, means as opposed to being engaged. It has to be that she is literally married to the husband, until then she's with her father. But here are some interesting rules. Mosar ha'av l'shluchei habal. Let's say the father gave her over to the shluchei habal. So let's assume, for argument's sake, they lived in two different cities and they lived very far apart. So the father wasn't going to travel all the way to the other city, you know, a 3-week travel for the chasana. So he gives her over to take care of her to the shluchei habal. The husband sent some people to pick her up so that they can travel with her. To bring her back, the moment the father gives her over to those shluchim, she's already considered in her husband's domain and not the father. So harei b'rishus habal. Once he gives her over to the father, to the husband's shluchim already, that's, she's now in the husband's care, and if she makes money or she earns anything, it goes to the husband. However, halacha'av im shluchei habal, let's say the father does travel all the way. So even though the husband already sent people to pick her up, but if the father is still there, she remains with the father. So it doesn't have to be the father himself. If the father hired people to go with her, they're still in the power and domain of the father. So even though, again, they're with the shluchei habal, it doesn't matter, she's still harehi b'rishus ha'av, she remains in the father's rishus. And again, if anything happens, let's say she finds a metziah, she finds a treasure on the way, that goes to the father. Masr shluchei ha'av l'shluchei habal. But once they hand them over, harehi b'rishus ha'av, that's already considered in the rishus of the baal. So the chiddush of this Mishnah, and there are a lot of chiddushim in the Mishnah, especially for us, which is a very different culture, but the idea is that once she's in completely under the domain and under the control of the husband, then she is no longer under the control and the relationship with the father anymore, and therefore whatever she earns or whatever the obligations to take care of her start, and the obligations that whatever she has goes to the husband, that they're one unit, start the moment she goes, obviously, to the husband, or even more so, even, or the chiddush is even to the shluchim that the husband took sent to take care of her.
She's an arusa, right?
Yeah, she is engaged, and now they're going for the purposes of getting married. So while she's engaged, she's still under with the father. But once she, so, and once she gets married, she's clearly with the husband. The question is that interim period, so we need to know who's taking care of her. That's what it depends on. But as we said, we emphasized when we started at the beginning of the mission, now the Gemara starts off with, my la'olam. What do you mean la'olam? Forever. It doesn't mean forever. And why do we have to say forever? Why don't we just say, the point is, when she's with the father. The Gemara answers, la'afuke mi'mishna rishoyna, to tell us that it's not like what they originally used to think. It's not. There's a Mishnah that says originally what it was is, hegiyas man v'loy nisu. If the time was, the time came for them to get married, and they didn't get married. So what does that mean? That means, as we're going to learn later, that when, once they got engaged, it was standard practice that they would get married a year later. Like the Hasidim also, it's like 9 months or 12 months later, they get married. So, but now the point is that there was a time they said, okay, we're going to get married in 9 months from now, 12 months from now, and for whatever reason, as Rashi says, it was the husband's fault that they did not get married on that date. So we say that it's already the husband's problem that because they should have, could have, would have but gotten married on that date, it's already the husband's problem, even if they didn't get married. And the Braisa goes one step further and says she could even eat truma as if she's literally married. So that's why kamash malon la'olam, that's why our Mishnah uses such a strong word, la'olam. No, she is really, and she remains in the father's jurisdiction until she literally gets married, even if it was supposed to happen. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. So she remains in the father's rishos until she gets the nesu'in actually happens, and she goes to the husband's rishos. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah, as we mentioned, was Mosar av l'shluche habal harei b'rishos habal. So we said this concept that it doesn't have to be actual marriage. It could be that the father sort of released her from his jurisdiction and gave her over into the husband's jurisdiction. So then the relationship goes to the husband. Amarav. So Rav says, Misiroso lekol. When we say that she gave her over, that now she's as if she's married with the husband, even though they're not yet really married, it works for everything chutz mitruma, except for truma. Truma is something that we're still concerned about. Truma remains, meaning if we're talking about a bas Yisrael, a regular Yisraelis who's not allowed to eat truma, and she would be going to marry a kohen, and as a wife of a kohen, of course, she's allowed to eat truma. So that transformation that she becomes allowed to eat truma is only true when they literally get married. Even though, notwithstanding the fact that giving her over to the shluchim already puts her in the reshus of the husband, she may not eat truma. And we're worried about and we're concerned, as Rashi said, Bisham Simfoin. So there's two reasons of Simfoin. Simfoin can mean two things. But according to this Shita, according to Rav, the issue is that he might end up finding a mum. They might, because right now the husband is not here. There's only shluchim. He only has his messengers taking care of her. So it could be that when she shows up at his door, he'll find out, hey, one second, this is not the girl I thought I was going to marry. It's a mekach tois. And they end up not getting married. So the problem is, if she starts eating truma now, and then they end up not getting married, she never really had a right to eat truma. So, mimela, we have to be, so therefore Rav is concerned and says, okay, everything except for truma, because truma is a big problem, because we know, of course, the zor that eats truma is chayev misa. So we don't want her eating truma until we know it's for sure going to happen. That's Rav Shita. Rav Asi Amar, afle truma, he says, no, even with truma, we don't have to worry about it, because he also worried about the concept of simfoin, but simfoin has, as I said, another translation. It could mean that we're worried that if she eats truma when she's at home, so it's going to get, the food is going to get mixed in with what everybody else, you know, she's going to be eating truma and her brothers and sisters are not eating truma, and it's going to get confusing and somebody who should not be eating it will accidentally eat it. So we don't want her eating truma until she is in the husband's property, and that, therefore, because the husband, everything the husband does is with truma, it's okay. But here, once you gave her over into the shluchim already, then it's not a problem. The brothers and sisters aren't available or aren't around, so therefore, it's not going to be a problem. So that's the basic machlekes over here. However, the Gemara says, "Esvei Rav Huna li Rav Asi." So again, Ravasi allows the eating truma. So Rav Huna asks a kasha. Bami la rechia, Amar lechia barav le Ravasi. So maybe it's chia barav that asks the question. Lo oilum. So let's look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says lo oilum hiber shus ha'av ashi tikanes lechupa. No, that she is considered in the father's domain until she literally is chupa. So now, what does that mean? Lechira, that doesn't mean that you can eat truma yet. So Amar lehu Rav. So Rav says, Lava Amina Luchu, didn't I already explain? Don't look for opposite, don't ask questions from a Mishnah that you could always explain the other way. Yochel Lishnuye Luchu, I could always answer you very simply. Mesirasa Zuhi Knisasa Luchupa. It says chupa, but we can say that the word chupa doesn't mean literally chupa. It means what you do for the process of chupa. The process of chupa requires that you give her over, so you'll give her over. So giving her over doesn't mean standing under a canopy per se. Giving over could mean you're giving over the shlich. So the fact that she's already eating chumor or all the other things doesn't bother us so much. Okay, so that's not a kasha. Now, Shmuel Omar, so Shmuel's another shita, and he says, it doesn't mean everything. All it means is liyirushasa. It means that he yarshins her. Yarshins, in other words, not for everything else, not for everything necessarily, and certainly not for Truma, but for Yerusha purposes, that if she dies, the husband gets to keep whatever Nadunya was coming his way. Reish Lakish Amar l'ksubasa. Reish Lakish says no. What it means is that she's already in his domain for the chiyuv ksuba. So the Gemara says ksuba mahi. What are we talking about? The chiyuv ksuba, because really, as we know, ksuba, the chiyuv starts as soon as they get engaged. Once there's kedushin already, there's a chiyuv ksuba. So what do we mean? What do we mean that now that they got married, or now that they're in the mesira of the father, it's already ksuba? It's not really true. It's already true from kedushin anyway. So the Gemara explains. So what does it mean? The imesa yarisla. That means that if he dies, it's part of the Tanai Ksuba, that if she dies, he gets her Yerusha. So the Gemara says, Hainu Shmuel. That's the same thing that Shmuel said. Shmuel also said that if she dies, he gets the Yerusha. So it must mean something else. So Amar Ravina, Loimar, so Ravina says what it means is, Ksubasa me acher mona. That if, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out at this moment, and she ends up married to somebody else. Acher means a second person. She ends up getting married. Even if all that happened was that the father gave her over to the shliach, a day later the marriage fell apart. She hasn't even gotten to the husband. The husband divorces her or whatever. At that point, that's already enough to be considered she was married. And if she marries, it's a second marriage. And if she marries somebody else, she only gets, even if she's a basula, technically, halachically, she's not considered a basula anymore. And she'll only get she'll only get like an almana, not like a basula. So that's what the Mesira does according to Reish Lakish. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina Darmat Harvayu, they say Mesirasa L'chol Af L'Truma. Again, this is the issue that we've been discussing is, what does this Mesira do? They didn't get married yet. Clearly, if they got married, this wouldn't be a discussion. It's obvious. Once she's married, she's with the husband. That's obvious. Here we're just talking about there was a Mesira that we gave her over to the husband's domain, even though they're not married. And again, so now Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, they both say that it means L'Truma. The Chiddush is that she can already start eating Truma. However, the Gemara asks, so let's look at our Bryce. This is going to be a long kasha. So the father went with the shluchei abal. It doesn't even mean the father himself, even if his shlich goes. Or there was a property they had a stopover at night, and she went with the husband himself to rest over there. But not for the purposes of getting married. They just stopped over in the hotel to sleep the night. Even though the money was already transferred, meaning the father's in the dunya, the $1,000 that he promised he already gave to the husband, Mesa, if she were to die at that moment, so either, again, the moment the story we're talking about is the husband's either there, or the husband and wife went to the hotel together, but not for the purposes of getting married. So Mesa Avia Yarsha, still, that's considered, she's still part of the father's family, and the money goes back to him. However, the flip side is, Masa Avla Shluchei Habal, if the father did already hand her over, Oisha Masa Shluchei Avla Shluchei Habal, or the Shluchim already handed her over, Oisha Hisa Lechotze Baderech, or there was a stopover, and they went together, even though they didn't go under the chuppah, but they understood that they're living together as if they're married. In that case, the flip side, even if the money is still by the father, he hadn't yet actually actually given the money yet, Mesa, and she dies, Bala Yarsha, the husband does have a right to get Yarshan's her, and he's entitled to that money, even though it's not in his Rishos yet, because at that point there was a Masira. Now, let's be very clear. But this is very clear from the Braisa that we're talking about is only for the purposes of whether it goes to the father or goes to the husband. Who gets the Yerusha? It's very clear. The woman is not allowed to start eating truma until they literally get married. There's chuppah. So we see that it does, that really the only thing that makes a difference, the only exception to the rule is truma. Tiyufta de kula tiyufta, so now this backs up Shmuel Shita that says that the Masira works for everything except for truma.
Why is this more
tight? Okay, this really backs up Rav Shita that says the Masira, the way we started the Gemara, that the Masira is for every other purpose, including Yerusha, for everything else except for Truma. Truma is the exception to the rule that she does not get to eat Truma until they literally get married. So now the Gemara says, Hogu Fakasha. Let's look at this Braisa itself and see if it makes sense. Amris Nichnasa Imoilolin. We said that she went with him specifically just to lie down. Taimo de lolin. So it's, you're telling me it's because that was clearly their intention, is just to sleep the night. Hastama. But if they didn't say anything one way or the other, l'shem nesuin. We're going to assume that if they went together into a hotel, that's what they were getting married. Okay, fine. So in other words, if I don't say anything, automatic marriage. Ema seifa. Let's look at the seifa. The seifa says, nichnasa ima l'shem nesuin. That if they went in specifically to get married, that's when it counts as a marriage. Hostomo. If I don't say anything, lolin, then it means that if it's unclear, it's just a night. It doesn't mean anything. So you have to make up your mind. What is the stam? Well, if they don't say anything, Amar Ravashi stume ketani. It says yes. There are. You're right. This brisa does contradict itself. There are different stomas. There's different assumptions depending on the situation. It's very clear. Stam chotzer dida. If the property that they went and they stopped in happened to belong to her lolin, so then anachanami. Then they're just stopping over there because she's still in her own rishus. Stam chotzer dida. But if it's his property, so then l'nesuin. So then, if he's bringing her into his property, even if they don't say anything explicitly and clearly, it's still considered as if they meant it for the marriage. Okay, now, Tana. Mosar av l'shluchei abal v'zinsa. Let's say there was, okay, remember, we're discussing over here, what is this concept of Masira? That the moment you give over, it's as if she already became in the husband's family, she became the wife. But really, let's talk about realistically, are they considered halachically as if there was mamash a marriage? So let's say, Masar Avla Shluchei Abal, she now was handed over, they didn't have chuppah yet, Vizinsa, and at that point she is Mazana Harezu Bechenek. The halacha is Bechenek. Now, you have to understand that, if you remember, that normally a Naira Murasa, obviously we're talking about a Naira or even a Katana, but we're talking about a young girl. We're not talking about an older girl, because if she was an older girl, anyway, she's technically out of the father's Rishos. Okay, fine. So we're talking about a young girl. So Naira, who is Mezana during engagement, during the Kedushin period, so that gets Skila. If the Znus happens after the Chuppah, she gets Chenek. So here, this Shita holds that once the father gives her over to the Baal, and that's already considered close enough to the, more like the Chuppah period than the engagement period, there the Halacha is, therefore she gets Chenek, which again, is the after Chuppah punishment. So Minahani Mili, Omer Avami Barachama, Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, Liznois Beis Aviha, that she did the Znus while she was in their father's house. Prat l'shemosar av l'shluchei abal. So as opposed to this, where she already was in the husband, he gave her over to the husband, so now she's not in the father's house, she's in the husband's house. Okay, that's the simple drasha. The aim of prat shenichnaso l'chupo v'loy nivolo. Maybe it means, anachanami means specifically that it's only after chupo, literally, there has to be an actual chupo, not just a mesira. So Amar Rava, Amar Li, Ami explained to me, chupo behedja ksiva, No, we have a different pasuk that tells us that chuppah already changes the category. So we don't need this. So this pasuk must be telling us something else. Because the pasuk by chuppah says, ki yiyeh naira besula mu'urasa la'ish. That's the pasuk actually that we talked about that gives us the qualities actually by Maitzi Shemra. So naira, first of all, we're going to darshan each word. Naira v'loi begeris, it has to be that she's still only a naira and she hasn't yet gone over 12 and a half. Besula v'loi be'ula, she had to have been originally a basula all along. Mu'urasa v'loi nesua. That's the key words over here. And she had to be only engaged when it happened, when this was happened, versus she's already married. My nesua. Now, what do we mean by married? What does the word married mean in that pasuk? Ilay nesua mamish, that they got married and they consummated the marriage. They're living together already. Haina basula v'loi ba'ula. So we already learned that it has to be that this nos happened while she's still a ba'ula. Still a basula. So it has to be that the case is that what the words nesua veloy arusa, or rather arusa veloy nesua, has to be specifically be talking about that there was a chuppah. So we see that this pasuk already deals with the issue of chuppah. That after chuppah it changes, and she now goes from what we would otherwise give skila to chenek. So that means if we have this extra pasuk of liznois beis avia, that this nus had to have happened while she's still with her father, that now is coming to tell us an extra chiddush. And that extra chiddush is that if the father handed her over to the husband, did the mesira, whatever that mesira means, but he did that mesira, so she's no longer beis avia. So the punishment of skila no longer applies. Okay, we'll stop over here.